Hello and welcome to the WWT Tech 17 podcast, which explores the issues and trends shaping today's IT landscape with experts from WWT, our partners and our customers. I'm Jaz Binning, Managing Consultant at WWT, and it's great to have you with us. We've come to the fourth and final instalment of our four-part series on AIOps. In the first, we defined AIOps and the challenges facing operations today with operations practitioner Keith Whiteside. And here's what we heard.
Okay, well, the simplest definition that I've seen for AIOps, it's the application of artificial intelligence for IT operations.
In the second podcast, we explored how AIOps technologies like AppDynamics and CWOM can allow you to better manage complex environments with fewer resources.
By using the two technologies together, you've got AppD running, you know, and pulling in data at the code level. You know, that line of code is slow, that query is not running very well. Understanding that, the application topology, and then combining that with the full stack visibility of CWOM, you really do get that visibility from the code all the way down through to the physical node. And then by analyzing that full stack, whether it's a code level issue, whether it's a query, whether it's an application flow issue, whether it's a sizing issue, a capacity issue, a placement issue, you know, really can get full coverage of any kind of application-based issue by using the two technologies together.
And in the most recent installment, we took a deep dive into how you can use AIOps tools to tackle the problems presented by having ever-increasing volumes of complex operational data at your fingertips.
So our take on this is that it can be encapsulated by what we call the central nervous system for IT operations, which is made up of three pillars. The first is getting visibility. It's about gaining visibility into the key IT domains. Applications, the business data, infrastructure, network, and security. Once you have that data, it's then about making sense of it all. And next comes insight. So this is where you need to correlate those discrete data sets and come to conclusions through root cause analysis, typically using the likes of anomaly detection and causality. Once you have the answer, you need to put that into practice. And that answer typically comes as an output to the baseline that we do, which picks up the likes of trends like Black Friday or Cyber Monday. You need to understand the seasonal throughput as an output to that. Finally, it's action. So this is where the insights you've gained from the information that you've gathered triggers an action to a controller that removes the problem that you've detected. Almost like magic.
So now we've seen how powerful AIOps can be and the benefits that it can bring to operations teams. But as any transformative technology, getting it implemented is often easier said than done. Anyone who has AIOps up and running will know that doing so is a process involving lots of considerations and often lots of stakeholders. Today, we're going to explore these challenges in more depth and work out how to take the sting out of them. For this discussion, I'm very pleased to be joined by my colleague, Paul Robinson from WWT. Welcome, Paul. Can you please tell us a little bit more about your role at WWT and your experience of AIOps in particular?
Hey, Jaz. Firstly, thanks for inviting me on your podcast today. So I'm the Chief Technology Advisor as part of our Global Enterprise Theatre. And my role within WWT is to focus on the becoming the trusted advisor to our key customers within the enterprise space, helping and supporting them through the adoption of technology, which is going to make a significant business impact to their world.
Thanks so much for joining me, Paul. So you have a wide experience of working with organizations, businesses on AIOps. So what kind of challenges do they typically face when trying to drive their AIOps journey?
So from the outset, I mean, the paradox of choice is one of the key and biggest problems that we're seeing from customers. They recognize that usually it's going to be a combination of technologies, but being able to combine those together and see where the real value is going to be is highly complex from their perspective. So being able to choose the right combination will be key and understanding how that's going to impact the production environment without causing disruption. Now, another area that we do see is going to be the social challenge of winning over key stakeholders within the business to endorse that purchase. And then when you finally get to it, when you've actually, you know, you've got the stakeholders buy-in and approval, it's actually how do you implement it? Not only from a technology perspective, but also from a working practice within the organization, getting the teams up and running and using it and proof that it's adding value very quickly. And again, then post-deployment, one of the final pieces is the long-term challenge of how do you keep it up to date and in use and making sure it's providing value throughout the business.
That's fair, Paul. And I agree with you there in the sense of being able to take that successful deployment outside of a particular pocket within an organisation and really get that going across the enterprise. I think that's quite fundamental in a successful AIOps journey. So we've discussed a few of those challenges there. So let's start with the first one you mentioned, that the paradox of choice, whether that's choice of, you know, vendor, choice of technology, choice of architecture. There are a growing number of sophisticated AIOps tools, and you know, we've heard from two of those vendors in our podcast series to date. Mm-hmm. That's AppDynamics and Turbonomic.
Yep.
So how can businesses with WWT support navigate this confusing landscape?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the case. I mean, our customers talk to us and they ask us, you know, WWT, which should we be choosing? What's going to add the most value to us? And I think what we always start with is getting that clear understanding of where the business is at the moment, where is it now, and where is it wants to go. And then that allows you to assess a combination of tools. Now, for our clients, we usually begin this with a scoping workshop, so we can really get a sense of the business needs and which tools can work with them to satisfy those. And then at that stage, we can bring in the right OEMs and we can ensure that we're combining those together to provide that value back to the customer. Now, one of the complexities can be at that point is those, when you've got that combination of tools, is how do you start negotiating, you know, multiple contracts of those? You know, you don't want it to be complex. You don't want to have the inconsistency there. So again, that's one of the areas that WWT can really support with, is that we help with our customers integrate the solution with them, you know, and looking at a wrapper, an EA style wrapper, which you can only deal with one relationship. So they can come to us and we can help support them from a technology perspective, but also a consumption perspective as well.
Got it. And for the purpose of our listeners, could you just delve into what you mean by an EA?
Yeah, so an enterprise agreement is the ability for a customer to consume licensing and software in a way which fits their needs and model. So usually customers, you know, see at the beginning of their journey is they're not sure, you know, how many licenses they're going to need. What's going to be the capacity they're going to need within the next 2, 5, 10 years. So by going towards an EA model, an enterprise agreement model, it gives them that flexibility so they can consume at the rate of change that they need to.
Fantastic. So you've covered there the scoping workshop that happens up front to understand what the business truly wants and needs. You've covered there some of the commercial constructs and models that we can look to support mm-hmm. customers with. Now that to me, and again, I'm being critical here, so forgive me, that to me sounds quite paper-based. Mm-hmm. And we've spoken about technologies, tools, all these products, they need to be integrated together. How can we help our customers actually take these technologies and effectively breed them together to deliver the joint value proposition, the joint outcomes that are being desired?
Yeah, no, that's right, Jazz. I mean, what we're seeing is in an ideal world from a customer perspective, they'd love to have a lab or an internal environment where they can, you know, showcase these systems and environments and applications and tools working together. However, that's usually unrealistic, and that's because, you know, a lot of customers and companies are moving away from having what could be perceived as expensive lab equipment, and are actually struggling to, you know, get access to these environments. And that's, again, that's one of the areas that we really support our customers with. So we have our Advanced Technology Center, which is an environment where customers can not only showcase their own environment, so build and show what their environment looks like, but then we can build in different OEMs, different solutions, different systems, and be able to prove out how that technology is going to impact them. So this can be really seen as an accelerator for not only a proof of concept perspective, but also as a way of getting at that internal sponsorship that we talked about before.
And I guess an additional value add of the Advanced Technology Center there is the ability to start almost today, right? So could you talk to about, you know, what are the typical ways that the lab can be consumed? What can be done today and in terms of customization? How may a customer experience our lab?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're spot on there, Jazz. We have the ability to provide an environment, you know, real time to the customer. We have a large, you know, multi-data center environment, technology playground, as we like to call it, where customers can engage and get maximum value out of this from day one. So, you know, that environment's ready to go, ready for our customers to utilize and use.
So the ATC is a fundamental part of choosing the right technology and the right set of technologies to be integrated together. But it's interesting when you said earlier that internal sponsorship, internal buy-in is equally as important, because it's never just about technology, is it? We need to be working wider into the business, looking at how adoption will work within the existing teams, the broader implications of bringing this technology in to the existing roles and responsibilities of those operations individuals and those technologists. And most importantly, I think, how are we going to persuade people and influence people, those change agents, that implementing these AIOps technologies is the right thing to do? So from a WWT perspective, how do we help customers on this journey?
Yeah, no, I agree, Jazz. Adoption is going to be absolutely key, as within any technology. With AIOps, it's a sensitive subject. You know, people will feel, a bit threatened, a bit scared by the fact that, that the robots are coming and they're coming over to take over their jobs. But I think the key here is about reassuring people that actually, but by embracing the change, embracing the technology and feeling comfortable with how that can impact them, that actually it can empower them in their current roles themselves. They can get more value and show more value back to the business as well. So we spend a lot of time with the operations teams, with the other stakeholders, to ensure that as this technology is being adopted, that they can get a sense and get a feel of how they can get the most value out of it, but how they can see the value that it's bringing to them as well as the business.
Got it. So it's that taking them on the journey.
Absolutely.
Alongside, as opposed to coming in and being disruptive.
Absolutely. They need to be part of that journey. And that's where from the workshop phase, from the advanced technology phase, moving through to adoption, that we'll be there with the customer and helping them through that journey itself.
That makes a lot of sense, Paul. We've picked the technology. We've picked the OEMs and the vendors that are going to be in play. We've proven their integration through our advanced technology center. And fundamentally, we've got the key stakeholders bought in and ready to come on this journey with us. But once all that's done and the value has been established, what challenges remain when trying to go live with the solution?
Yeah, no, what we see, Jazz, is the time to value. There's usually been a significant financial outlay by the business on some of this software. So there'll be naturally some pressure from the executive team, and we see this, see this firsthand with some of our key customers recently, that there'll be some significant pressure on the deployment team and the operations team to start getting that value and starting to see that value back to the business. So again, that's where, we have, the scale, the global presence, and to actually help with accelerating that adoption of the technology, helping the local teams being able to show that. And then that will allow them, from an executive perspective, them to start showing back to their boards and their senior management, that the value's actually been seen from the purchases that they've actually made.
Could you give us an example of where a customer has leveraged WWT's professional services capability in order to deploy an AIOps technology?
Yeah, no. So I've seen this very recently with one of our life sciences customers, where they've gone through the process of deciding what they wanted to choose from a tooling perspective, and then through a mixture of and we've talked about it before, a mixture of the advanced technology center initially, but then as we moved through into the adoption world, we were able to put a very strong wrapper around them to allow them to help consume that technology. So that was absolutely key for them. And again, it allowed them to, what we did is we had the ability to do reporting and matrix tracking to allow them to showcase actually what is the actual usage of this technology, which was absolutely key, particularly when you're looking at it at a board level where they want to see what is the return on investment. That was absolutely key function that we could provide back to the customer.
So implementation services, professional services can handle the short-term setup and configuration and that immediate value turnaround. However, we've got to be cognizant of the longer term challenges and benefits. So once the technology gets in, how do we ensure that it remains relevant and not just in the pocket in which it was deployed in, but in the wider business, the wider enterprise? What can businesses do to that end?
Yeah, so the longer term benefits and the longer term adoption will be key. And that's where, from our perspective, we will always continue to work with our customers to ensure that they are getting the value that they've seen. That they're expecting to see, that they continue to get the return of investment. But also we're constantly challenging, constantly looking to see how we could improve it. you know, maybe new technology offerings which could add and enhance further integration, maybe better ways of using the technology they've already purchased. But again, that's got to be part of that ongoing life cycle where we'll continue to talk with them, continue to ideate with them, and continue to look at new ways that they can actually consume the technology itself.
Thanks, Paul. Some really interesting points there. And I guess as a last question, a final question to you in today's podcast, how far would you go in agreeing with me that AI ops and the associated technologies can be a true differentiator for modern businesses?
Yeah, no, we're seeing, Jazz, this is definitely driving a competitive advantage for our customers. We're having conversations with them. The energy and the interest is absolutely bubbling up. And again, they see the value. So it's going to be now around the execution and the adoption, as we've talked about earlier.
Fantastic. Now, Paul, you've touched upon many of the WWT differentiators, many of the WWT services that sit around AI ops. If any of our listeners are interested in learning more and opening up some dialogue, what's the best way to get in contact?
Yeah, you can find both myself and yourself, Jazz, on LinkedIn. So please come check us out. Please connect and message us. We're here to help and support and open up the conversation. So please just reach out via LinkedIn or Twitter or any of the other social media channels.
Thank you, Paul, for joining me. And I'd like to extend my thanks again to the guests we've had across the series. Keith Whiteside from E2 Tech, Asim Anwar, our CWOM expert, and Kingsley Hughes-Morgan from Cisco AppDynamics. If you'd like to learn more about AI ops and what WWT can do to help simplify that ops transformation journey, you can visit our website at wwt.com.